Welcome to watching our show or listening in. If you're listening to audio, this is OM.
Jay.
And I'm Jessica Lewis.
I'm Joshua Peltier. And this is the OMJ PUP. Wait, PUP? POUP. It's the Pop-Up Podcast. We are outside live. Well, by the time you see it, it'll be live. But we are outside in front of a church because we holy. We are here. That's the kind of show we can do. We can do a show in the church, in the gutter, in the sewer, on the jungle gyms, outside the jail. We're gonna do it anywhere because communication is
everything,
and everything is
communication.
Life is about that. Go ahead, Jessica.
Well, today's topic is relationships, and the reason why I want to get into that because
you're in a relationship.
I'm not in a relationship.
Ooh.
However,
single.
I want to make sure that when I do get in one, I know what I'm doing. At least know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And able to communicate. And so because you're the communication expert, you have this thing called the Josh effect. So tell us about the Josh effect and how we can use that in our relationships.
Well, the Josh effect is something that my good friend Audrey Watson came up with. And she named it or gave it the little moniker after I was in a situation. Well, let me back it all the way up. I was in a meeting, and I was in a meeting at this very fine restaurant. It's closed now, but the restaurant was off the chain.
It was fine, but not anymore.
It was amazing. And I was in a meeting, and I left to go to the bathroom. And after I came back from the bathroom, I had a conversation with the waitress. Then the waitress brought over the cook. Then the cook contacted another waitress. Then the chef came over. So it was five people talking to me. And they had a bunch of questions about whatever you can think of. And it was two people I was having a meeting with. And one, it was a young lady and a young man. And the man looked back and said, "What the funnel cake is going on? Who is he and why are all those people talking to him?" And the young lady I was with said, "That's the Josh effect." So basically what it is it's the effect that I have on people after I meet them. Communication is what I does. So what I do is I give people tips, tool bits, techniques, understandings, theories, concepts on how they can deal with every single situation from a communication aspect. And everything is
communication.
And communication is
everything.
Life is like that. How you sleep, how you drink, how you walk, how you talk, how you stand, how we got this set up. You all can't see this, but we got so many lights around this joint because we outside, because you can't tell it. But if we had a light, you couldn't see us. And if you couldn't see us, what's that communicating?
That we're not here.
That we're not here and we ain't got no money. And we had cheap production. What we doing is big time. Everything is communication, and communication is everything. So back to your question about relationships.
Yes.
Relationship, the foundation of any relationship is communication. And the challenge, and I work with a lot of couples, the challenge is there's no pre-communication.
Give us an example of pre-communication.
So in other words, let's say you're not in a relationship. Let's say you were in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you and a guy are madly in love. It's the best thing ever. Y'all can't wait to get together. Y'all just so, oh man, Jessica's so awesome and Robert is the best. I wasn't supposed to name his name, my bad.
Not anybody I'm dating.
That
maybe
guy,
somebody he's dating.
That guy, hey, I did not mean to put his name out there.
Who is Robert?
That's how we're going to play it. So they both love each other, but they want to get together. They want to build a family together. They want to do all this stuff together. So you start asking them questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the guy's favorite color?
Maybe.
And then they say stuff like, "I don't know." And then I say, "Well, what's her favorite color?" And then she's like, "I don't know. What side of the bed does she like to sleep on? I'm not sure. Does she brush her teeth in the shower? Does she brush her teeth outside the sink? Does she like to take her trash out in the morning or in the daytime? Does she park her car on the street? Or does she park her car on the driveway?" Now, these things may not seem like they're that important. But when you start to live with somebody,
yeah,
and you cohabitate with another person, the smallest thing can cause the biggest challenge. And if you don't know these things ahead of time, then the challenge gets massive and more massive because you're like, "What do you really know about me? You don't know anything about me." Now, these are just basic examples. But if you start asking questions like, let's say you're working at a factory. right? But my dream is to own a construction company, right? But did you know that before you got married?
Right.
But what happens is you get in the married and the marriage, and you start to think, well, I want this construction company, but I'm married. So now the person's thinking like, well, I can't do the construction company because I'm married. And then they start to blame the other person. Like, you stopped me from living out my dreams. You stopped me from wanting to become what I wanted to be. If you're supposed to be my wife, you're supposed to support me. If you're supposed to love me, you're supposed to have my back. But you can't do that because now you got a family. So it's hard for you to stop making that money and then over here doing something else. But if you knew that in the first place,
I agree,
would you have even taken the time out to even jump into the marriage? Because once you get married, and this is the challenge with a lot of people, they don't understand. When you're in a relationship, sometimes you have to lose some of
yourself.
And you have to give of yourself to allow another person to come into that same space. It's easy when you're used to throwing your socks on the floor. You coming home and eating, you know, making microwave dinners, and that's it. That's simple.
Yeah.
But then when you have a wife who you come home and throw socks on the floor, all she's thinking is, dang, he's messy.
Yeah.
Dang, what's wrong with him? Why can't he pick up his socks?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a whole different transition. Because think about it. It's like, let's say you're getting married on Saturday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you single. You all by yourself. The next day, you married.
Yeah.
So you can't go from, I just throw my socks on the floor. Now you got to pick your socks up.
How about even wear matching socks? How about that? It's deep. But the reality is all communication.
But
so
yeah.
Does it matter in the delivery of how something is being said? Is it the message and what's being said? Or is it a combination of the two when it comes to how you receive what's being said to you?
It's a very good question. That is a very good question. That is one of the most pivotal questions that I think is always overlooked.
Yeah.
What you want to do, and this happens when I deal with parents, I break this down to them. You want to communicate that you care. So the intent has to be that you care about the other person when you're talking about them. Because when you think about, if I care about this person, you will start to think about your delivery. You'll start to think about your tonality. You'll start to think about the message.
Mm-hmm.
You'll start to think about, you know, your nonverbals. When you're not caring about the person and you're putting your feelings and your emotions first, that's what happens. The anger, the animosity, all that stuff comes out, and the person receives it in such a way, all they're going to do is give you back the same thing. It's a basic rule of philosophy and physics. If I push you, what you want to do now?
Push you back.
You want to push me back. You know, but if I come with you trying not to push you, you usually want to give me the same
energy
back.
That's right.
So what happens is when people get mad and they say stuff, well, that's why your mama never loved you.
Mm.
This is not coming out with the ability to communicate that you care.
Yeah.
This is coming out with the communication that you're trying to hurt the other person. And what happens is this person now wants to rebut. And the communication process starts to get jammed up. All of because it's the way the intent happened in the first place.
What I find is that oftentimes men and women don't want to ask those hard questions because they don't want to have that uncomfortable feeling during the conversation and whatever the aftermath may be. So what's a good approach to even starting those tough conversations?
You want to, another good question. I mean, it's like you prepared this. I'm proud of you. What I do with a lot of couples, I tell you, and who's ever watching, if you're in a fresh relationship, if you're in an old relationship, if you're thinking about being in a relationship with a person, I'm going to give you this tidbit. Take a piece of paper, okay? Fold the piece of paper in half, all right? On one side, I want you to write what you like about the person, all right? Put at the top of the sheet, like, right? Now, what am I going to ask you to put on the other side?
What you dislike.
No. Bam. See? I did that on purpose. I knew she was going to do
more?
That. You put what you like and then what you love.
Okay.
You don't want to put any kind of negatives.
Okay.
The negatives will start the whole process of the whole negative relationship connotation.
Mm.
But if you're able to talk about what you like and love, dialogue will keep on flowing with no challenges. You will be able to create a no barrier. There won't be any barriers if you're only talking about what you like and love.
I like that.
You know, you can say something like, I like the way you look at me in the morning. I like the way you cut the grass. Or I like the way you cook. Or I like the way, and what do you love about that? Oh, I love this, that, and the other. I love, 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 love. Now, this is the tricky part. Mm-hmm. And this is the sticky, sticky part. Mix it up. The tricky, tricky part. Now mix it up. If you went to a black school, you understand.
I don't get it.
I was about to say ski weed, but they gonna get mad at me. That ain't it though. Oh, snap. Ooh, whoop. I know. Don't shoot me. Okay, so back it up. Rewind the tape. You put down the sheet of paper. One side what you like, one side what you love.
Love.
And you number them. And you only do one line or whatever. What you do is you compare notes. Now, if there's a bunch of things that you like about the person and a few things that you love, that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. If there's, now the other person gives you a piece of paper, there's a bunch of things they love about you and a few things they like, you need to have a conversation.
What does that mean?
Because what you want to do, you want the things to line up.
Meaning they should be the same?
Not necessarily the same.
Same amount?
Not necessarily the same. Okay, let's say I like your hard work. Okay, and you would have on my paper, I like your work ethic. Or I would, but if both of us like different things about each other, there's a challenge.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. There's not a real connection because the opposite attract thing is a fact, but the opposites usually don't stay together. They may come together, but they don't last.
Right, I agree.
Because people need to see a reflection of who you are in themselves for it to work. If I'm an entrepreneur and I get with somebody who just wants to be a 9-to-5er, and they don't understand this, that, and the other, and they understand always getting a check all the time, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I agree.
So if they say something like, I love the fact that you're an entrepreneur, I appreciate that. And if the person can appreciate that in you, that means they've seen it somewhere in somebody else. And oh, I like the fact that you like that I'm an entrepreneur or something like that. Mm-hmm. There has to be a connection. If there's not a connection, there's going to be some challenges along the way. Because love, and y'all need to write this down, love is not enough.
Wow. And so when you're in the situation where, I like how you said like and love, so to remove the negatives
out. There's no negative, no animosity, no pressure, no hatred, no nothing.
But let's be real.
Be real.
There's going to be things that you don't like about.
You don't put those on there.
People, we're forgetting about the list. So the things, let's talk about boundaries. Let's talk about deal breakers. How do you communicate that in the pre-consultation? How do you express that lovingly? Not to necessarily change that person, but to make them aware of this is affecting our relationship.
Well, even before that, you want to know the seriousness of the relationship.
Okay.
So, in other words, you want to cross the street.
Yeah.
But we want to know, is there a reason for us to even cross? So, if this situation is not serious, and if it's not, and after you, sometimes, I promise you, you ask these few questions, they start to rethink everything. They start to rethink the whole process. And what I don't do, I try as hard as I can not to give advice.
Okay.
I try to keep everything positive, I keep everything level, but I will give you feedback so that you can figure out what you want to do. But you don't come to me and say, Josh, what should I do? I will ask you a series of questions. I was like, well, you have all these options. Now you make up the best decision for you. I can't tell you what to do. Because you didn't go back to me, man, Cynthia, my wife, Josh told me to leave you. So I'm out. You ain't blaming me.
I get that perspective, but let's say you're in that relationship, and now a part of your process is to communicate your boundaries and communicate, I guess, your deal breakers.
So you have,
how do you do that?
You have to explain to the person. Well, see, this is good because you can, if you spend time with the person, you'll be able to notice some characteristics about them. You'll notice how clean they are, how they like to keep their kitchen, how they like to keep that kind of stuff. And if you a slob, you know if you want this woman, you're going to have to make some adjustments.
Okay.
So you already know that.
But do you consider that person changing themselves?
No.
Or adjusting to grow as a person?
No, no.
What's your perspective?
Okay, so if the person really loves the person, right, and they want to be this person, and the girl is like, the only challenges I have with him is the fact that he is messy, the man can clean up.
That's fixable.
The man is fixable. But if there's another one, like, you know, I don't like how he talks to his mother. He's always on the phone with his mother, just that and the other. That's a conversation, because he's not going to stop talking to his mother because of you.
Huh.
I'm sorry. Because, well, that's a whole nother conversation. But
how would you address it, though? Like, give a quick synopsis. It don't have to be that specific mama conversation,
yeah.
But once you identify your deal breaker or certain things is a little excessive and it's considered a boundary that you need to set, how do you start that conversation?
You have to talk around it. I know this is
please elaborate.
This takes about 3 to 4 sessions to get this right, but I'm gonna give it to you.
All right,
so if a person's not taking out the trash, you have to say something like, man, I really like how the woman can say, or whoever can say, the trash is so heavy.
Okay.
You know, I need somebody who's strong. I wish I had somebody who's strong enough to take out the trash. You know, the man will be like, well, I'm strong enough. I can do it. You sure? Because it's so heavy. It's so, and I can barely lift it. Mm-hmm. So when he does it, then the woman like goes crazy over it. Like she makes the biggest deal out of it. Wow, you really are strong. Mess with his muscles and whatever. Start taking pictures of him, put him on Instagram,
that's a good
talking
one.
Whatever. But now you made him think like he's empowering the situation. So if there's the mother situation, you can do the same thing. You can say something like, I really, really enjoy the relationship I have with my mother, but you know, I really wish I had a bond like you and your mother have. Like this, that, and the other. So you're putting the situation on the forefront, but you're not saying it's bad.
So still removing the negative.
Yes, still removing the negative. So you're talking to him, me and my mother do have a something. Then a woman could say, because you talk to her all the time. And I just think that's so woman. And then he's going to say, I don't talk to her that much. And it's like, yeah, you should time it. You should time it because it's so wonderful, because I wish I could talk to my mother that much. Next time I'll time it for you. And they say, look. And then he'd be like, you know what? I might talk to my mama a lot. You know what?
I like that.
And then he'd be like, you know, maybe I should spend more time talking to you. It's like, no, you know what? Your mother is so awesome. This, that, and the other. You know, I just really appreciate it. I just wish I had what y'all had. No, no, no. You know, subconsciously, this is what'll happen. But if you do it like this, you talk to your mama way too much. When you gonna stop talking to your mama? I'm your wife. This is the same thing. This is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's gonna come back. And you can even go to the mother and say, you know what, Miss So-and-so, I really appreciate how much you talk to your son. I mean, I wish I had something like that. Da, 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 da. And then the daughter could even be on the phone in the background. Mm. This is extra level stuff. Like, is that your mama again? Hey, let me talk to her. And then she can start having a conversation with her.
Okay.
So then it's subconsciously, the mama be like, I don't feel like talking to your wife all the time, every time I talk to you. Why do I always have to talk to her?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, mama, we married. She talks about she didn't have that with her mama.
Yeah.
You know, and then now the son is thinking like, huh.
That's some Jedi mind tricks right there. Y'all listen to this?
It's all communication.
Y'all listening?
It's all communication. But what you didn't do, you never told the person, hang up with your mama.
Wow.
Stop talking to me.
That's powerful.
Stop talking to her.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, men, especially, but people, period. But men love to be empowered.
Yeah.
So then if the man says, you know what, baby? I've been talking to my mama a lot. I need to talk to you a little bit more. Baby, no. I don't want to come in between you and your mother. I'm not here for that. I'm your wife. I just want to love you, and then start laming all the things you want to do. I want to love you. I want to take care of you. I want to be there for you. I want to nurture you. I want to support you. Start naming all of them.
And make sure you kiss them.
No, no. You don't do two actions. Don't do two actions at the same time. It's
he's
confusing.
The expert, not me.
What'll happen is he will start to engage with you.
Okay.
And he'll be like, you know what? You are so awesome. You don't mind me talking to my mother, this, that, and the other, but I feel like I'm telling you.
That sounds powerful. Okay. I love
it. But it takes a process for it to happen because you have to believe that it's gonna work.
That's right.
The challenge is your instinct says, I'm not doing that. Because he needs to stop. And I try to tell people, behaviors change like this.
Yeah.
You know, they don't switch.
That's right.
But for the behavior to change, the person you're talking to has to accept it.
That's right.
And once they accept it, all you do is just keep on hammering it, but you don't hammer it like this. Yeah. You tap it from the side.
I like that. Positive reinforcement.
Yeah. It's tricky. Trust me. Same thing with kids. If you have a boyfriend that you don't like, that the daughter's dating, don't go off on a girl about the daughter, the husband, the boyfriend. All it's going to do is push her closer and closer to him. You're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Can we stay pissed on church grounds?
We're going to pray for it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be urinated. Wait, that didn't sound right.
I'm glad 30 minutes is up. We never said we were in front of church.
I did.
No.
I said we
not were. On this one. That was another take. But it's okay, guys. So we want to thank our communications expert, Josh, for giving us, those are some really strong nuggets. I really hope y'all took some notes because there is a way to go about communicating with somebody without attacking them, communicating it constructively so that they receive it. And even you'll, like he said, you may see some gradual change, but if you don't know how to even start there, these tips that we're going to give you on the course of our podcast will allow for you to literally maneuver any situation, home, school, work, business, and everything in between. So please look forward to our next topic, which will be work, how to communicate while in business or at work, so that you know how to understand how to interpersonally connect with the people that you have to do business with. I'm excited about that. So our next topic is going to be work.
That's a tough one.
Work, all caps, with exclamation marks.
Work.
Because we want you guys to be able to commute in different levels. So each topic is going to have a specific he's showing his age right now, but it's okay. That is not Sierra. We're going to leave that alone. That's not how you sing the song. But either way, guys, look forward to our next topic. You're watching OMJ. Thank y'all for watching.
P.
Pop Up Podcast. You messed it up.